You're listening to Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Meanwhile, on the ground, what was it like? On Monday night, as the big storm landed in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Daphne Wisham. As the cell phone tower swayed, she called for calm. The mainstream media is delivering news while keeping up the great American silence about the role of climate disruption in this unprecedented storm. That's what we're going to talk about with Daphne Wisham, the host of the long-running green radio show Earthbeat and now a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington. I reached Daphne in her home in D.C. just as Hurricane Sandy was washing ashore on Monday. Daphne, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you, and I hope the line remains good. During the storm, we've got about 70-mile-per-hour winds outside right now.
Well, yeah, before we get to that storm, what is happening in Washington?
Well, I'm looking out, and the trees are blowing pretty violently. There's been just constant rainfall since last night. We've had record rainfall here in the nation's capital. The government is shut down. The metro or the underground subway has been shut down. They're asking only emergency personnel to be out on the streets. So we still have power, but we're waiting for power to go off any time.
And you've been busy writing about the aspect of climate change for places like the Huffington Post and Fire Dog Lake. What are you telling folks?
Well, you know, I mean, one of the things that I was writing about in my column today is basically the title is on not scaring ourselves to death, moving beyond the adrenaline rush of Frankenstorm to real energy independence. And my point is that, you know, if you turn on your television set, it's almost like we go through the same exercise with each one of these major hurricanes. We almost get an adrenaline high out of watching, you know, the waters rising and the weathercasters going out into thigh deep water and standing at the ocean's edge, buffeted by the high winds. And, you know, we sort of get caught up in the drama and almost expect it. And yet, you know, it's sort of ironic that this is all happening right around Halloween when people like to scare themselves to death. And what I'm suggesting is that by sort of getting caught up in the adrenaline rush, we're really fooling ourselves again and again, just as children do every Halloween. And we're not acting like the adults we need to act like, which is basically to understand over and over again when we keep getting buffeted by stronger and stronger storms, there is something very serious happening that we need to pay attention to. And that, of course, as you know, is that we're dealing with a climate crisis of enormous proportions. And there is absolutely no coincidence in the fact that this storm is as great as it is, given that the Arctic is melting, the oceans are warming, there's more energy in the atmosphere. And so, of course, we are going to be seeing an increase in the intensity of both the storms as well as the rainfall. What goes up must come down with evaporation. So it's no surprise. What is surprising is just how good we are at fooling ourselves and pretending that, you know, this is some major shocking storm that has nothing to do with the climate crisis. You know, my hope is that this will be, if Katrina wasn't the wake-up call, hopefully Sandy or Frankenstorm is the wake-up call that this country and our political leaders desperately need in order to get us on the path towards the kind of energy revolution that we absolutely need to take to protect our future and the future of our grandchildren.
Well, you know, during the Republican National Convention, presidential candidate Mitt Romney laughed at efforts to stop rising seas. And now this storm surge from Hurricane Sandy is threatening the North American coast, the East Coast, as never before. Bill McKibben of 350.org suggested Romney might want to rethink that. What has storm surge got to do with rising seas?
Well, of course, as you know, we've got the sea level rising due to climate change. We know that is happening. That's part of the background. And then when you have more and more intense storms, of course, that results in higher waves. And of course, we've got a full moon at the same time, so we're having an even higher tide. And all of that adds up for a region of the country like New York City, which is already so close to the edge of high tide at good times, to a disaster potentially unfolding. And we're hearing that Atlantic City is underwater. Other parts of the New Jersey shore are facing massive deluges, potentially. And this is, of course, exactly what the scientists have predicted. What people like NASA's top climate scientist, James Hansen, have said is actually we didn't anticipate that it would be this bad this soon. It's happening a lot faster than many of the top scientists expected. And as the Arctic melts, of course, that increases the intensity of these storms, because where once it was sort of a buffer for the ups and downs and the temperatures and so on, and it's now with the Arctic receding, there's more heat being held in the polar region. Of course, that heat has to escape one way or another, and that energy is churning up more and more storms.
And, you know, a lot of folks don't know this, but the extra heat that's trapped by these rising greenhouse gases in the atmosphere is going straight into the ocean. And that seems to be an important part of this story, even with Hurricane Sandy.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, I'm wondering if this will, we finally had President Obama mentioning climate change in response to an interview he did, I think, with MTV recently. But it's really too bad that this didn't come up at all in the debates, and that the politicians in general seem to be backpedaling as fast as possible away from any discussion of the issues around climate change at a time when we desperately need to have this conversation. So as you know, I'm just back from Germany and Denmark, and the conversations in those countries couldn't be more different and more hopeful in the sense they are really taking very seriously the need to move off of fossil fuels as well as away from nuclear power in the aftermath of Fukushima. And maybe this will be what it takes to finally have the conversation on climate change if New York City goes underwater. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, there have been scientists and frustrated green activists thinking only a major disaster will force this change in thinking in America. And I am looking forward to hearing more from you about what's happening in Germany and Denmark. I know it's just like a different world over there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, too, when we get these huge rainfall events, they can happen even without a hurricane. They've been popping up all over the world. In New England, the biggest impact of that tropical storm Irene was the relentless rain, the flooding out of roads and homes, whole communities. Can you talk about extreme rainfall events and global warming?
Well, you know, I mean, one of the things we keep hearing about in all different parts of the world is record rainfall. Pakistan, a vast majority of Pakistan was underwater for 2 years in a row. We hear about flooding in the Philippines, in other parts of Asia, China, and of course in this country, in the United States, we've had record flooding. And, you know, again, it has a lot to do with the extra heat in the atmosphere and how that results in an increase in evaporation of water. And, of course, it must come down. And so it's coming down in some places in record levels, and it's not coming down in other areas in parts of the country where we've seen record drought. And, unfortunately, there's sort of a vicious cycle. Once a part of the country gets very, very dry, as in the Southwest, it's predicted that it'll be even drier and that those desert areas will expand. So it's almost as if climate change is sort of putting different climate cycles on steroids. And what was once a relatively moist area, a rainy part of the country may all of a sudden become just one deluge after another. And the drier regions will become even more dry. You know, I think we've got a very short window of time, as you know, to turn this around. It's possible we may have already passed certain tipping points, but time is of the essence. We are making some changes. I mean, I don't want to say it's all gloom and doom. We have somehow, if the numbers are to be believed, we've actually reduced our emissions in the United States. I'm somewhat skeptical of those numbers because I don't think they're counting the emissions from fracking that's going on at a record pace. I think they haven't calculated the fugitive emissions from all the fracking that's going on. However, if the numbers are to be believed due to both the economic downturn and to people driving more efficient cars and so on, it seems that at least we're not headed in, you know, as bad a direction as we could have a few years ago. So there are signs of some changes going on, and we just have to build on that and build on the momentum. Of course, the tar sands in Canada are going to be our biggest challenge, both for this country and for Canada. And hopefully that won't be a foregone conclusion that the pipeline will be built regardless of who gets elected. I'm afraid that we have both Obama and Romney suggesting that they're going to move forward with that pipeline, which would be very, very challenging for those of us who care about climate change.
And for all the money they think they're going to make out of that terrible oil that they produce, we're going to lose a lot more. We just had Munich Re, the insurance company that kind of insures other insurance companies. And they're saying that there's going to be, you know, North America is being very hard hit by these extreme climate events. They expect to see more. So we're going to lose billions. I see a point at which cities will struggle to recover from whether it's storms or droughts, just time after time. Maybe some places won't be able to come back from these things.
Yeah, I mean, it's we're already talking tens of billions of dollars just from this one storm. And that, I think, is just the wind damage. We're not talking about water damage. Tens of billions of dollars just from one storm. And you imagine, what could we do with tens of billions of dollars of investment in clean energy? We could certainly do an awful lot more in terms of getting towards energy independence, which both candidates say that they claim to hold dear. So I don't know. I mean, will we act rationally after this storm? It remains to be seen. We probably will continue our short-term thinking, but if enough of us keep pushing and speaking out on and connecting the dots between this record storm and the record greenhouse gas emissions in the Earth's atmosphere, maybe we'll start to see some changes.
Well, I'm hoping you're hunkered down in a safe place. Maybe the power will go out. Are you ready for 2-3 days without electricity?
Yeah, I've got food all stored up in a cooler and plenty of candles and batteries and emergency rooms, and I think we'll be fine. I'm more worried about people that are literally losing their lives in places like Haiti as a result of our energy profligacy, but I guess it's going to take a while for us to wake up to this.
We are talking with Green Radio reporter Daphne Wisham, the longtime host of Earthbeat and now a fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies. She is in Washington, D.C., just as the storm lands. This is recorded on October 29th. Daphne, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks for all that you do, Alex.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock. You can find links to Daphne Wisham's article at Fire Dog Lake and lots more on the link between climate change and hurricanes like Sandy in my show blog at ecoshock.info, ecoshock.info.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.